248 DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original.
I'm Steve Kathan. Secretary of State Blinken has postponed next week's planned diplomatic trip to China. It comes after a suspected Chinese spy balloon was seen over Montana. It's now high over the Midwest.
U.S. officials say the balloon is traveling at an altitude of 66,000 feet and maneuvering as it is blown on a trajectory that is expected to take it across the United States. The Pentagon continues to track it on radar and at times has it under visual observation. Military officials have recommended against shooting it down for now because of the danger it would pose to people on the ground. But officials say that recommendation could change once the balloon gets over an unpopulated area. David Martin, CBS News, Washington.
China insists it's a civilian research balloon and has expressed regrets. The government says employers added 517,000 jobs last month. CBS's Jill Schlesinger says that's considered a strong number.
The January jobs report underscores the message that Jerome Powell gave during his press conference this week. Although economic growth is weakening, the labor market remains resilient, which means the Fed is likely to continue raising interest rates, maybe two more times at a quarter point each, so that wage growth starts to come down and inflation readings improve.
Wind chills this morning in the upper Midwest were in the 25 below zero range. WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen says the brutal cold is now pushed east.
The winds continue to increase. They'll be running at gale force, running 20 to 30 and gusting over 40 miles per hour at times through the day today. And the temperature and wind combination will keep driving the wind chill down until it reaches dangerously low levels, anywhere from minus 10 to as low as minus 40 or minus 50.
Honda and the government are urging owners of thousands of older vehicles not to drive them until dangerous airbag inflators are replaced. Here's Jeff Gilbert of Detroit affiliate WWJ.
These are older 01 to 03 Hondas and Acuras with non-repaired Takata airbags. Honda says there are 8,200 vehicles out there that have a high risk of having the airbag inflator rupture that can cause death or serious injury. You can check with a dealer or the NHTSA.gov recall database.
A Republican bill in Arizona would restrict drag shows in the state.
It's not R-rated, it's X-rated entertainment.
GOP Senator John Kavanaugh says under the bill, performances would be banned near daycare centers, schools, and churches. Performer Jessica Harper spoke in opposition.
This bill is so vaguely written that it would effectively make it illegal for me to exist in public as a trans woman, let alone DJ anywhere but a strip club.
Checking Wall Street right now, a mixed bag. The Dow is up 57 points. The S&P is down 5. This is CBS News.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 30. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 22. Tonight, overcast. Daytime highs approaching 31. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Upper 30s Monday with a chance for mixed precipitation. Mid-30s, cloudy skies Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 22.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
It was an eventful show. I'm hoping that Jane doesn't clap me upside the head when we walk out of the studio.
The only thing I would really like to know, can we make me smaller?
Yeah, look at it.
Can you make it, like, really tiny?
Yeah, I can do that.
Can you make it smaller than that?
No. I saw it go. You prefer this?
Yeah, and let's get some Vaseline for half the length.
You're like, I got into radio for a reason.
Because no one could see me. But this is lovely. I love it.
You love working with me.
I love being a...
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the 1 o'clock, no sour, ha-ha, funny hour. Greg will be here tomorrow to let us know if we got that right or not, but... Jane, how are you doing?
I am good.
This show's flying by.
It really is. And we had such fun guests. Jason and Jerry were both tremendous.
Aren't they? They were both so great.
Yep.
And so interesting. Jerry was very patient with our technical issues.
Yep.
And we'll definitely have to have... He was very funny.
It was hilarious.
For being, you know, what you think is potentially a dry role as the executive director of the League of Municipalities.
Yeah.
He was very funny.
Yeah. It just doesn't sound like I have a whole group full of chucklemeisters, but he was great.
Yeah. And so that was, we'll have to have him back as far as developments and more recommendations of the gems and treasures across Wisconsin.
Washburn, because my sister and I were in Bayfield a couple of summers ago. It's gorgeous up there.
I mean, that is truly, in the winter, it's pretty when it just has snowed. It's pretty. And I get it, but it gets, you know, it gets ugly quickly. But truly, one of my favorite memories since moving back was when I was moving from my parents' house in Wisconsin Rapids to Milwaukee in October of 2020. And I took 43, and it was just, the colors were so incredible the entire drive. And that didn't even hold a candle to this last fall. I think everyone was saying that the colors this last fall were just insane compared to even what they normally are.
Yeah, you sent some pictures to me from Rapids. It was glorious.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And so that was, we had, if you're listening right now to the podcast for the third hour, go back and listen to the second hour. It was super fun. We had great guests. But now we are in the third hour and we're going to have some fun. And this first, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking about Carroll College, because on this day, they got their charter.
Yeah.
Before we were even a state.
I know. It's crazy when you think about it.
Oldest college in the state, and they are around the corner from us. And so we're going to be talking about that. And then, but for now, another legend has passed.
Yeah.
I didn't see, you texted me about this last night, and Cindy Williams has died at 75, and she is famous for Laverne and Shirley. Right in our, I don't know if they filmed it here.
No, I don't think they were. I doubt that they were ever here.
I think they filmed the opening here. Shlemiel Schlemazel. I would think that, because I feel like if I'm...
But there was no shots.
There was no shots, but was there any shots of them in that opening of, like, by the river or anything that was down here? Because certainly the opening scene of Mary Tyler Moore is her in Minneapolis, yeah, even though they certainly filmed the sitcom in Hollywood.
Right.
And so, but she died at 75, which was also the same age Penny Marshall died, was at 75.
I didn't realize that she was 75, and then it just made me worry about Ron Howard, who is Richie Cunningham.
No, I know who Ron Howard is. You forget, but I grew up on Nick at Night.
Like, oh,
I
that's
know,
right.
I know, I watched these shows.
But so he's got to be well into his mid-70s, right? Unless they were a little older than him.
Well, Henry Winkler, who I think put out his condolences, because he obviously had been friends with her since the first day, because they were both guest stars on Happy Days.
Right.
And then got their spinoff on For Laverne and Shirley, both shows created by Gary Marshall. Who also RIP, but, you know, you sent this to me and kind of, and I'm sure this won't be the last time we do this because we're both funny ladies who like to be funny. Didn't you say that that was, what was your first experience of making people laugh? And you're like, ooh, I want to do that.
Oh, when we were in church, and it was a Catholic ceremony. I don't remember which feast day it was, but it was let us kneel, let us stand, let us sit. That's what the priest says, and the whole congregation follows suit. And we did that, and I'm like 5 years old, and I looked up at my mother, and it's dead quiet in church, and I asked her really loudly, I said, why doesn't he make up his mind? And the whole congregation burst out laughing, and I was like, this is great.
I love this kind of attention.
All I did was ask a question, which seemed perfectly logical to me. And I got a great response. So, yeah, that kind of set me on my path.
I definitely liked entertaining and I liked being on stage. And it was, whether it was funny or dramatic or anything, like it was all of it. I just liked being on stage and that feeling of being in front of people. Yep. And I was thinking about this as you were saying, you know, some of our favorite women comedians over time. And certainly that show. And the physical comedy of that show and how great they were. And also, I mean, not unlike Mary Tyler Moore, as far as these two single women,
yep,
who had jobs and weren't somebody's wife.
Right.
And how revolutionary that was as a concept for a show in the 70s. And it was a really popular show.
It was huge. It was huge.
And so, you know, I was trying to make my list of... And this is certainly not comprehensive. And so there's too many. There's way too many. But if you have your favorite female comedians, whether that's stand-up, whether that's sketch or SNL or actors, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. I, you know, for me, when I was trying to come up, I think still top of list for me is Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. And some of the other SNL women who have, you know, paved the way. Gilda Radner, obvious.
Yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who's been so good. What are some of the ones for you?
I was thinking about this, and again, I'm considerably older than you, but one of the very first funny ladies I remember, and I'm just going to play the clip for you, see if anyone can identify this famous stand-up comic from the early days.
But Fang, I gotta tell you something else. The other night he was reading the obituaries and he said, isn't it just amazing how people die in alphabetical order? One of the kids asked him to spell Mississippi. He said, the river or the state? I told him we had a leak in the gas pipe. He put a pan under it. And you say, well, why did you marry the bum? Well, you forgot. I hadn't been done over. I was so ugly. I had no chances at all. My high school class voted me most likely to marry outside my species. I was so ugly. My own Ouija board told me to go to hell. And you know, when you play spin the bottle, if they don't want to kiss you, they have to give you a quarter. Well, hell. By the time I was 12 years old, I owned my own home.
It's not Joan Rivers.
No. Nope.
I can see her face.
Even predates. I think she predates.
I mean, she's. I can see her face, but I can't think of her name.
It's Phyllis Diller.
Phyllis Diller. Yes, of course.
Who is truly one of the first one of the first funny women that I really remember.
Yeah.
And I remember her fang jokes. I remember her making jokes about her husband, which just was revelatory to me. And her self-deprecating humor as well really stood out to me.
Well, Joan Rivers was super self-deprecating.
She was.
Too. And it's interesting. Have you watched Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Yes.
I need to catch up in the last two seasons, but I devoured the first two seasons. And, you know, that's obviously not a real, it's not a biopic or a bio series. It's,
right.
It's, you know, picking and choosing kind of from, I'm sure, Phyllis Diller, Joan Rivers, and some of the first women who even dared. Because at that time, I mean, stand-up was not, I mean, people were going to jail, right?
Oh,
like,
well,
as far as for obscenity and so the ability to be brave enough to be the jester to call out the king has no clothes on. It was a different time than, you know, wanting to, there was more at risk than just like not getting a Netflix special.
Oh, definitely. There's no question. Texter from the 715 says, from Stevens Point, thanks for checking in. Kristen and Jane Cindy Williams appeared at the Iola Car Show in July of 2022.
She was just here.
Wow, that's crazy. And again, we're asking for your favorite funny ladies at 844-967-2789-541. Texting in with Taylor Tomlinson.
Oh, I know she is. She's a current. She's a current stand-up who's very funny. She makes also self. I mean, I feel like most good comics are self-deprecating to a point because you talk about what you know. But she has. She's bipolar, and she has a great bit about figuring out your meds and how your meds kind of become your like life preserver. And, you know, if as long as you take your meds, you can hang on and you can go swimming.
Sure.
It's like, oh no, it's like your little wingy, like
your
water wings. She's like, and don't treat your boyfriend like he's your water rings. Cause then you're both going to drown. She just has this amazing analogy as far as figuring out your mental health and taking responsibility for your mental health. But she's excellent. I mean, obviously, the other classic one is Carol Burnett.
I have a brief clip.
All right, let's play it.
It's a classic.
What brings you to Tara?
You vixen, you. Stop it. I love you. That gown is gorgeous.
Thank you. I saw it in the window, and I just couldn't resist it.
I didn't show it to any of the crew. I did show it to Harvey. He saw it in my dressing room because I didn't want him to crack up. And when I came out and there was the curtain rodger, that was one of the longest laughs we ever got.
Talking about the spoof of Gone with the Wind called Went with the Wind, when she comes out in this outfit that is obviously constructed out of curtains, but she's got the curtain rod in her shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
It's hilarious. You can see it on YouTube. I pulled up these clips from YouTube last night. I had so much fun.
I can't. We're gonna keep playing them through the break, or when we come back from the break. But if you have your favorite funny women, they can be actors, they can be SNL sketch people, they can be stand-ups of like women that just make you laugh, whether they were trailblazers or not, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Quickly, the Carol Burnett. I just recently saw a clip reemerge of when Maggie Smith was on the Carol Burnett show, and they had a whole bit about her trying to teach Carol how to talk, like with a proper English accent.
Oh.
And you can just imagine how that went. And so, this is really fun. This is really fun. All right, stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We're talking about funny ladies. We'll be right back.
Everyday people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Tomorrow night, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah, we can really have lots of fun. You get the Gussie up a little bit.
Feel this invitation. The words have bumps. Formal dress. We ain't got nothing to wear to this, and we can't afford to buy new clothes. Don't worry, we'll come up with something. I got a better idea. Let's not go. I mean, why should we go up there to represent the workers, the little people? We're only helping him out.
This is a chance to help ourselves out.
How?
This is a perfect opportunity to meet the right kind of people. Didn't you always want to go inside one of those big, beautiful homes? Laverne, the only kind of parties we've ever been to are bring your own. I like bringing my own. Then I know what I'm getting.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking about funny ladies who inspire us in honor of Cindy Williams, who did pass yesterday at 75, made famous from Laverne and Shirley.
And American Graffiti.
And American Graffiti.
Yeah.
And was apparently here in 2022 at the AOLIS car show. And you never know who you're going to run into there.
Exactly.
Maybe that's our bucket list, too. We got to get our bucket list and see where we can broadcast from and really, really lean into
really
all things
hit it
Wisconsin.
Out. Yep,
but
I love it.
We were talking about different funny women, some who are trailblazers, some who are just hilarious, that inspire us. And we were asking for people to let us know which funny women they appreciate. 844-967-2789. I think I'm trying to, like, the person who really, and I love it because she worked for so long before everyone, I think, in the public realized what a comedic genius she is, but is Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
You know, and she was on Gilmore Girls for however many seasons.
Oh, my
Gilmore
gosh.
Girls was on. And then she was on, what was the sitcom she was on with the married couple, Mike and Mindy?
Could be.
Does that sound right? I never watched it, but I know for a long time she was on a sitcom. So obviously she was funny, and the role she had on Gilmore Girls was kind of a comedic relief, sidekick, friend role. But really when she started starring in, like, you know, Bridesmaids, obviously, she was...
groundbreaking.
Her role in that and her monologue at the end when she admits that she's like part of the CIA and she needs to like making friends and all that stuff is she is a treasure as far as current, I would say, living funny women go. But truly also is Lucy Ball.
Lucille Ball, another groundbreaker, which she and Desi did, was like nothing else that anyone had done.
Did you see the Aaron Sorkin movie? With Nicole Kidman. First of all, I did not appreciate Nicole Kidman at first. When I first heard that she was cast to be Lucille Ball, I was like, oh, can she move her face? Like, don't get me wrong. Nicole Kidman, incredible actress, a lot of Botox, which I don't blame her for. But Lucille Ball, very, very expressive person. But once I saw the movie, I was like, oh, she nailed it.
Really?
Oh,
I couldn't get her out of my head.
Well, I thought she nailed it as far as what potentially, and who knows, we only saw the Lucille Ball that ever did like interviews as her playing herself versus the caricature and the character, right? But the idea of like the businesswoman that she was, the way that she went about the character and like doing the scenes of trying to find the joke,
yep,
and trying to find the honesty in the joke, I think for anyone who's ever done any sort of improv or sketch or stand up, that is like, it's only funny if it's true.
Yeah.
And it made me think of, there was a show, also an Aaron Sorkin show, and it was supposed to be kind of like, came out the same year as 30 Rock, except it was a drama instead of a comedy. It's like 60 something. And there was a scene in there where it's about like a sketch show. And it made me think of what you said as far as when you asked the question in church and everyone laughed. Because she's like, why didn't I get the laugh on that line? He's like, because the first time you asked for the butter. And the second time you asked for the laugh.
Ooh.
And it was that line always stuck with me, that like, whether it's acting or and comedy, of like, it doesn't work if you're playing it for the laugh. It only works if there's honesty there.
Speaking of, I got one last clip that we're going to play because we're going to run out of time otherwise. We lost her too recently, the great, great Betty White.
This is exactly what happened during the Great Herring War.
The Great Herring War?
Yes, between the Lindstroms and the Johansons.
Oh, that Great Herring War.
The two families controlled the most fertile herring waters off the coast of Norway, so naturally it seemed like it would be in their best interest to band together. Oh, boy, was that a mistake. They couldn't agree on what to do with the herring. The Johansons wanted to pickle the herring, and the Lindstroms wanted to train them for the circus.
Weren't they kind of hard to see riding on the elephants?
Oh, not that kind of circus. A herring circus. Sort of like SeaWorld. Only smaller. Much, much smaller.
Did they ever shoot a herring out of a cannon?
Only once. Into a tree.
After that, no other herring would do it.
Classic from the Golden Girls, and not to forget Rue McClanahan and B. Arthur,
yeah,
who was brilliant. They were all just brilliant, but Betty White, what a treasure.
Recently we were at Laughing Tab. Shout out to Greg, Greg's comedy store. Go see comedy there. And when my mom was in town and we went and saw some comedy, and one of, I think it was the opener, had a joke about how white women have lost their leader because now that Betty White is gone and how we're in search of new leadership.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was like, it's kind of true.
It is kind of true. Yep. She was the queen.
She was the queen. And so it's, you know, it's definitely sad, but as far as being grateful for that show, I think that we are primed to have some fun someday as you and I going and reenacting the opening of that show.
Oh, geez.
We know how much you love being on camera now.
Oh, yes, I do. Thank you, Texture 920, Brett Butler. She starred in the show, Grace Under Fire, and she was a great stand-up. She was, and she just kind of disappeared, too. She was really hot for a while, and then just kind of went away.
Yeah, I wonder, and, you know, sometimes I wonder with people who have, you know, so for so long that model was you became a really successful stand-up, and then you got a sitcom. You know, there's Jerry Seinfeld, Roseanne, Ray Romano, like all of those different shows. And so sometimes I wonder how many people, once their show is over, they just go back to doing stand-up. And so they're not necessarily in the same limelight as a show gives you, but they're still working. And so, all right, well, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, Carroll College, our neighbor, 177th birthday. Let's talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh. Make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for News Talk and Sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I came home from Iraq, I could still hear the booms. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
DAV helps veterans get the benefits they've earned.
Thanks to DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered to truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 30. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 22. Tonight, overcast. Daytime highs approaching 31. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Upper 30s Monday with a chance for mixed precipitation. Mid-30s, cloudy skies Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 22.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Jay Matinair is on the board. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. And a reminder that if you miss any part of the today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. And today, I know you're right on this, Jane, but today is the first day that you can start turning in your taxes. They're starting to accept if you want to get your tax refund. I don't know if I'll get a tax refund or not this year.
Really?
But we'll find out. But With that, we thought we maybe would talk a little bit more about what future taxes could potentially look like in the great state of Wisconsin. So Dr. Phil Rocco is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, and this is his, I think, third time joining us on the show.
Three-peat? Is that a hat trick?
Three-peat. I like that. Yeah. So friend of the show, officially, I would say. And
all right.
I invited you on because back in election season, when the flat tax was just an idea that Tim Michaels kind of threw out there, and then the conservatives were very upset that people took him at his word. Well, it's not actually a plan. And now we actually do have a plan. But in the hypothetical stages, you wrote a guest article for Recombobulation Area about what a flat tax would do for most of us in Wisconsin. And it was great. It was very detailed. And now we actually have a plan that has been proposed that would take, I think, is it 3.25? A flat tax of 3.25%?
Right.
So
yeah, it would be a flat tax of 3.25%.
Which is pretty low.
Right. Yes.
Which is pretty low.
Like for comparison, like right now, the tax rates go from 3.45, I think, all the way up to 7.56% for the top bracket. So that's a lot of revenue disappearing overnight. And the thing that was interesting was that when we wrote that piece back in the fall, like there were two different versions of the flat tax that were sort of floating out there. One of them was a flat tax with a slightly higher rate,
mm-hmm.
which meant that, some people's taxes would in fact go up. Lower income folks' taxes would go up, but you wouldn't have, as much revenue disappearing. The other option was this kind of flat tax, which just brings down the top rates to the lowest, or in this case, below the lowest rate. And what it means in practical terms is two things. One is that it can only be described as sort of like a bonanza for people at the top part of the income distribution. So the richest 1.4% of taxpayers under this proposal get 1/3 of the total kind of benefits, right? In monetary terms.
And how many people does that end up being? Is that just like,
I mean, one.
So it's 1% of our population?
Right. That's, it's a pretty small number. So, I mean, I think, just a pretty small number of taxpayers.
And do we know what threshold of how much those people are making?
So that's the 1.4%. That's people making 500,000 and over.
Okay.
Right. So they're going to see, that 1.4% is going to see about 1/3 of the tax breaks. The 70% of the taxpayers are going to receive only about 17.8% of the total tax cut. So, I mean, in practical terms, this is not going to be, there's going to be like a few movies and maybe dinner, per year for most filers. But for the people at the top of the income distribution, it's like a windfall. It's a lot. So that's the first thing, just in terms of like, the rates, are going to seem like they come down, right? But in reality, most of the benefit is concentrated at the very top of the income distribution. The other thing, and we can talk about this more maybe, after the break, is that it's not just who the tax cuts are going to. It's also the fact that every year when this is fully implemented, over $5 billion in revenue is just going to disappear. And if you put that in practical terms, it means that you could cut something like, the entire UW system budget and all funding for corrections, and you would still need to cut more in order to account for that. And you can do all kinds of comparisons, like it's more than four times all state K-12 spending, more than four times like the state and local shared revenue to local governments. Like, it's a lot of money.
Also basically almost as much as our surplus is right now.
Yeah. I mean, so this idea is like the surplus is going to maybe like hide the effects of this for like a year. But then once it's fully implemented, it's a lot of revenue going out the door very, very quickly, in a way that would be very dramatically, would result in some dramatic negative economic effects for the state, which we can talk about. But the idea that LeMahieu and Republicans are kind of pushing here is that, like, the surplus means that we're overtaxed. But the surplus is really sort of like a one-time perfect storm because of a variety of different trends. It's not like part of a bigger trend. So what that means is that once that surplus is gone, this is going to be a dramatic, dramatic reduction in, or require dramatic reduction in state spending. Or alternatively, they could just raise, you know, the sales tax, but they'd have to raise it a lot in order to make up the difference, which is, you know, a regressive tax, a tax that's going to fall mostly on working class, middle class folks. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to, like, project the future and, like, how this could work out. But the bottom line is, distributionally, for most people, this is going to mean not a lot of savings in terms of taxes and potentially huge cuts to vital services that people have come to rely on.
Phil, just a couple things. First of all, I can't be the only person who just lies awake at night, tossing and turning, worried that the wealthiest 1.4% in Wisconsin are struggling to buy a third vacation home. It's so painful, and I've lost so much sleep. But additionally, a couple of years ago, didn't they try this, something like this, in Kansas? And they essentially broke Kansas?
Yes, this is what was called the Kansas experiment, right? What governor Sam Brownback at the time described as an adrenaline shot in the heart of the Kansas economy. And it was the largest tax cut they'd ever seen in Kansas. It brought down the top rate from like 6.4% down to 4.9%. So that the wealthiest people were paying basically the same marginal rate as the middle class. And the idea was that, plus a bunch of different other things, were going to generate all of this new investment in Kansas. Employers were going to start setting up shop there. You were going to see this huge kind of multiplier effect. In fact, the reverse happened, right? So what that meant was that the state had to slash spending in fairly exorbitant ways, right? Cutting money for highways, cutting money for the state Medicaid program, cutting money for schools, like, so that janitors and librarians couldn't get hired. And what that did was it reduced all of the sort of like economic multiplier effect that government spending has. So like when government spends, it means that people have contracts, private contractors who do business with the government get hired. There are all of these sort of attendant knock-on effects of government spending. And as a result, when you simply cut, you know, and, you know, Kansas cut a great deal, it basically meant that it couldn't fund a lot of these programs. And actually, it made it much sort of less attractive to come into the state because the state just wasn't offering a lot of services. So population growth kind of flattened out. And then by any sort of like any economic indicator, job growth, economic development or investment, the state just started tanking. And so by August 2014, S&P downgraded the state's credit rating. Like, it was an economic disaster of unmitigated proportions that ultimately like led to Sam Brownback, who was once, I think, seen as a kind of potential presidential contender. It was a disgrace for him, and he sort of like left public life.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And so it's really hard to overstate just like what a just political and economic disaster was. And they, guess what? They ended up repealing it because it was such a disaster.
So we're talking to Dr. Phil Rocco, who is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, about the proposed flat tax in Wisconsin. And has anyone ran that Kansas story by LeMahieu and Voss and been like, hey, how would we make it not, how would we avoid being like Kansas?
Well, there's like, there's this like alternative, like this like a speculative fiction universe of like what people say the whole Kansas experiment was really about. Like, so there's a whole like literature, like literature that like comes from conservative think tanks. It's like, no, it actually wasn't, you know, the tax cuts that caused all of these things. And they point to like any number of like a concatenation of other factors. Like, well, it must have been something else, right? But when you look at Kansas, and you can just do the comparison to all of its neighboring states, that all of the different things that people suggest were going on in Kansas, they were also going on in those neighboring states. And what happened was like none of those neighboring states faced essentially the economic cliff that Kansas did. And so it's really hard to conclude that it's not the, you know, this yeah. Kansas experiment. But the thing is, it's really inconvenient for them to talk about this. I mean, it's because it's a really great example of just what it means to get rid of. So like the argument that I think is being made is that like a lot of this spending that's going on is like wasteful, right? And that like it's not a big deal to cut over $5 billion a year because there's so much waste. But the reality is like waste or, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse like is a really, really small percentage, right? If you were able to like calculate it, it's like really small percentage of what government actually does. And most of what government does is actually help to stimulate economic growth in the, you know, a variety of regions in the state. And so when you just, I think people can't actually conceptualize what that scale of cuts means for their everyday life, for the highways, right? You think about like the worst highway you've ever driven on in Wisconsin and imagine it getting perpetually worse. Like that's what $5 billion a year in outflow of revenue, you know, will make happen. Alternatively, you know, it's like a sale, potentially like that spending cuts plus a prohibitively high sales tax for a lot of people. So the argument I think that is getting made is that like that somehow this is going to induce population growth in the state and that it's actually like the progressivity of the tax code that's inhibiting that. The thing I would point to is that the projected population growth for Minnesota, more progressive tax code, is 12% out to 2040. Wisconsin's is already only 3% projected population growth out to 2040. There's no way on earth that, you know, what's going on here or what might be going on here is a, you know, a population surge as a result of a flat tax. There's, you know, it defies the most basic common sense to make that argument.
And we can keep talking about it after the break because we only have about 2 minutes left before we have to go to the commercial, but it's also because I hear this a lot, and you think of like the states that are growing fastest, a lot of them do have sometimes no income tax, Texas, Florida. They're also, I always say this, they're also a lot warmer than us, but I think that's so interesting to compare it to Minnesota, who's arguably colder than us, and you got to be like a Vikings fan, but you know, and the fact that I didn't know that discrepancy as far as what their population trend has been, despite it being a much more... It's in the last 12, 13 years, like the discrepancy between policies and how much they've been different with all things being the same as far as weather, climate, culture. And so we'll talk more about that when we get back.
Yeah, but also, absolutely.
Yeah. And there's so many different ways I wanted to go with this, and we'll only have you for 8 minutes. So we'll just have to have you back, but stay with us. Dr. Phil Rocco is here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning.
Access to technology and school supplies.
And even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in. Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Dr. Phil Rocco, who is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, about the potential implications of a Wisconsin flat tax, which the current proposal sits at 3.25%, and what that could mean for Wisconsin. And this isn't even before the flat tax, since I've moved home or moved back, there's been conversations around no income tax and what that could do. Mm. And there are some states, what is there, like 9 in total that have no income tax? But I think of, you know, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, I think Alaska, maybe Wyoming. But some of the states that can generate enough revenue otherwise to function without having an income tax. So what it kind of has to be in place, as far as you understand it, for a low to no income tax to work in a state?
Yeah. So like some states have deposits of natural resources that they can have franchise taxes on, right? I think about Alaska, you know, out west, there are states that just have a naturally occurring resource that you can sort of tax and generate revenue off of that. Okay. Other states have booming industries that bring in people who don't live in the state as tourists frequently, and you can use sales taxes much more effectively there because, you know, you have such a kind of booming tourist industry in dollar terms, right? So what ultimately you have to do if you don't want to have an income tax is like one option is you have to have some other sort of resource there. It's like a special tax that you can just leverage. The other thing you could do is create a really regressive tax code, right? That where you're relying on taxes that mainly fall on people who are poor, or, you know, working class, middle class folks, rely more heavily on property tax, which is something that states, you know, used to do. Wisconsin was one of the big pioneers in the early 20th century, in 1911, in really moving the state to a progressive income tax because property is so hard to effectively and efficiently tax without, you know, a measure of corruption kind of getting involved there. So that was the big complaint about in the 19th century. It's really easy to hide property value and property wealth, especially back then. The other thing that you can do is just like slash services and just like, you know, make government a lot less effective at doing the things we expected to do. And that's something that you definitely see in states that don't have kind of effective income tax regimes. But I think the thing that ultimately, you know, is sort of happening in Wisconsin is, you know, essentially every time the state cuts taxes, and by the way, we are already at the lowest level of tax collection, lowest rate of tax collection on record, right? That's how much taxes have come down since the 1990s. Like it is, we have really sucked out a lot of revenue in the state. And what that means, it's not like the demand goes away. It just means that either we're saying, you know, that we're not going to meet that demand, or we're pushing off the responsibility onto other levels of government, like local governments, or, like, which is why you see so many bond measures millage increases in school districts now, right? Because there's still demand. We still have to pay for things.
Yeah.
Unless you just want, you know, the basic services that we expect as a society just fall apart. And it's also, I think, why governments are in such a, local governments are in such a difficult position right now, and an increasingly impossible one. And so, like, that's the sort of bigger picture here. It's like, you know, it's easy to say, or easy to sort of have this concept, like, we're going to, you know, decrease taxes, step two, question mark, step two, step three, profit, right? The South Park underwear gnomes. But I think the bigger thing is that, like, the population trends in Wisconsin are really emblematic of population trends across the country. Like, people are moving from colder to warmer climates. Mm-hmm. That is not about taxes.
Yep.
Right. But then you look at Minnesota and it's like, why are people moving to that cold state, which in many cases is like colder than here, yeah, even, and less so to Wisconsin. And I think one of the really important answers is that you have economic policies that have led to the growth of a thriving, you know, metropolitan region in the Twin Cities, whereas Wisconsin is really disinvested from the economic power, you know, potential economic powerhouses of the state. And I think about the UW system as like one big place that when you cut the UW system, you are cutting an engine of economic growth for the state. That's what you're doing. You can say that you are, you know, sticking it to, you know, quote unquote, like liberal professors and elites and so forth. But what you're doing is you're screwing over the economy of the state.
Yeah. So, I mean, what this all obviously comes down to what will be months from now, the final budget. But it feels like this would be a non-starter as far as something that Governor Evers would sign. But do you think that there's any room for any kind of flat tax, even if it was a little bit higher? Or do you think this is dead in the water?
No, I think this is based. It would be hard to say that this is not, you know, dead in the water. The question is, you know, how much, you know, how much do Republicans want to like press the issue and extend budget negotiations and go to the mats over this, right? Yeah. How long do they want the budget fight effectively to be? And I think, you know, one thing that is going to be interesting is how the narrative about the flat tax kind of spins out there. I think the thing that Republicans, the sort of advantage they, this sort of accrues to them in debates like this, is that like not much information gets out there about what the flat tax is, because people are like, oh, it's a flat tax. It's simpler. It's, you know, easier. But the way of describing it is, this is not a tax cut. This is a change in the way that we're using the power of government to distribute costs and benefits in society. And what this is going to do is redistribute benefits to the top income bracket in the state. And what it's going to mean for the rest of us is, you know, how are we going to fund highway construction? How are we going to fund schools? Mm-hmm. How are we going to do all the things that we need to do? And, you know, maybe you get like 200 additional bucks, you know, if you're at the right part of the income distribution, and like,
that you're probably going to be spending on a sales enjoy tax that, anyways. I guess.
Yeah,
that'll exactly. Just go immediately to the increases.
Or by the way, property taxes, which continue to go up, right? Somebody pays somewhere.
Exactly. All right. Well, Dr. Phil Rocco, thank you so much for joining us and explaining, breaking this down for us. I told at the break, that Kansas story is really something. And so maybe a little bit more noise about that, I think, would be good.
It's but wild.
We will have you back soon. Thank you so much for your time, sir. And have a great
day. Be with you, as ever.
All right. Take care. We are going to go to the top of the hour news. And when we come back, thanks again. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Sucker, I ain't one. Put your 1044 where the sun don't shine.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown.